Here we are launching season three. Wow, season three, 42 episodes. And today, well, I can't be any happier than Hutch Harris joining me from Portland over on the West Coast.
Yep.
And well, I mean, those of you that know Hutch know that he was the mastermind behind the thermals and has self-release stuff and very present on social media. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as we go through. So thanks, Hutch, for hopping on here. And
oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Chatting. I love backstories. I love the idea of when it clicked in your mind that music was going to be something that you couldn't ignore, that it was going to have to be a part of you as you evolve in this world of ours. What were those first recollections that you have when music started to become vital for your existence?
It was pretty early for me. My dad is a musician. He's a pianist. So music was really big in our house growing up. And when I was about, I must have been like seven, he gave me, it was like a combination phonograph and 8-track cassette player. So I, my dad didn't have the coolest taste in music. He loved the Beatles. So we had Beatles records, but that was like, as far as like rock stuff, there was almost nothing else. He loved the Beatles. Then we just listened to like jazz and show tunes. So he gave me like the record player and the 8-track cassette, but mostly I was just listening to old like show tunes or like old jazz and then the Beatles. But yeah, but it was pretty early, like 6 or 7.
Well, and I mean, I've seen a couple of Instagrams where you had your dad on playing, and
oh, yeah.
I mean, what a blast you guys look like you're having.
Great.
Just like, so cool.
Yeah, and yeah, it's really cool, yeah.
Yeah, he mainly played show tunes, you're saying? Like, that was his piano musical kind of outlet?
Yeah, still does. But he's someone, I mean, he's played for like 60 years, so he's someone who has a great ear. He can just hear anything and play it. Like when me and my sister were kids playing Nintendo, my dad would just listen to us playing and then he would play the songs. Like he would play like the Super Mario Brothers theme song on piano just by picking it up, you know, just by listening. Right. He would pick it up. So yeah, that was always really amusing to us.
That's cool. I've met such people too. They just one time they listen to a song, they're like, "Yeah, give me a bass guitar, whatever you want," and they just off
it's
they go.
Crazy. Yeah, we did it. I did a show with my dad where we had comedians on would come on stage, and my dad would just like play piano and accompany them, like while they told jokes. But then some of them wanted to sing songs, and he would be like, "Okay, just start singing the song." And it was a song he might not even know. They would just start singing it, and then he would just find the key on piano, and then he would just be playing this song live at a show that he wasn't even familiar with. He could just jump right in. Yeah, that stuff like blows my mind.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. It's a great skill to have.
Yeah, so cool.
I think most of the rest of us have to practice a lot. And
yeah, nonstop, just to be barely as good as that. Yeah.
So I imagine your dad had a huge influence on your trajectory as you were becoming of age into high school
for
and
sure.
Stuff like
for sure. Yeah.
When did you first pick up your first guitar and start playing?
When I was 14, I picked up guitar, and I had tried to learn a couple instruments. Like I had actually picked saxophone first when I was like maybe 11, 10 or 11. And just wasn't, it didn't gel. And then my dad really wanted me and my sister to play piano. So he had tried teaching us and it just didn't, maybe it was just like too close, you know, just like for some reason it didn't stick. But once I picked up guitar, I was fully into it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I imagine you had bands in high school as well that got formed up and into college. Like, where did you start finding the sound that the thermals would become down the road? Like, can you see in retrospect now where you started to have more of that post-punky, a lot of distortion, fast. Quite a departure from the Beatles.
Yeah, for sure. I had, like friends in high school who got me into punk stuff. And I always liked, the more melodic punk bands like the Ramones or Misfits or even like Minor Threat. Even like there's a lot of hardcore bands that are, like Minor Threat's hardcore, but it's still really musical. Those are songs that you can just, I mean, I was like playing those songs on an acoustic guitar, not long after hearing them for the first time. So I really like identified with a lot of those punk bands that are really just about, just chords, just melodies, chords and melodies, and then for me, that kind of crosses over with more indie stuff like Guided by Voices or Sebado or Dinosaur Jr. It's not too, they're pretty similar, I think.
Right. But it was a unique sound that you guys found, the three of you, right? It was a three-person band.
Yeah.
Like those first two records were quite in your face, punchy, but still had this kind of low quality, lo-fi
right.
quality to them. How did you come about finding your voice in the Thermals?
And for me, it was a lot about the recording. Like the first record is just all on a 4-track cassette at my house. And, you kind of get that distorted sound just from cranking up the inputs. I had just like a cheap microphone and a really cheap little preamp that I would just, go direct into the 4-track. And I just realized that, I had a friend who had showed me how to use the preamp, and he was like, you used to be really ginger with it, just a little bit of input, a little bit of output. And I just realized if you just crank both of them up all the way, like you're not supposed to, all of a sudden it just sounded way more exciting. It just didn't sound like my normal voice. And all of a sudden I found myself singing like way louder and way high, just like in a higher register. Yeah. And a lot of it was found just through doing the actual recording, just because it sounded so exciting to get to have that really crazy distorted lo-fi sound.
Right. Cool. So you put out this record you record in your kitchen, right? I read it was a one room, establishment.
Yeah, exactly.
And then 6 months later, Sub Pop picks you guys up or says they want you to record three more albums. Like how did that happen? Like, that blows my mind to just going from this basement bedroom recording.
Yeah. I know, that was
being
crazy.
Picked up by a major label.
Yeah, I didn't even think, we thought it was a prank when they had gotten in touch with us. Because I thought, there's no way that's real. I mean, that had been, we had wanted to be on Sub Pop for like as long as we could remember. And we had like previous projects that Kathy and I had done, like previous bands that we had sent our stuff to Sub Pop and just never heard anything back. So the fact that this was just kind of like out of the blue, we couldn't even believe that was happening. And we hadn't even played shows when they were getting in touch with us. So I think we played, they were like, can you come up and play a show? We're like, well, but just give us like a second. I think we were like, maybe like next month. But we weren't like telling them any of that. We didn't want them to think we didn't have our shit together, but we didn't. We were just like
you had to practice the songs before you.
I'm pretty sure the second show we played was for Sub Pop in Seattle. We played a basement show in Portland and then went up and played. There was this club that had like, like two rooms, like the main room with a big stage. And then had like a side, just like a bar to the side. And they let us just book a show. And we just played on the floor in the second room. And that was kind of perfect for us because it was so, the band was so like barely ready to show. And it was basically like a private show for the people who worked at Sub Pop. So, but that was cool. And then it just moved like super quickly.
Yeah.
After that, they invited us to the office. Actually, the Megan, who is still like the general manager at Sub Pop, she didn't make it to the show. So they're like, can you come up and play one more time? Like, of course. So we came up one more time and played, and then they offered us a record deal after that.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
So
it's
the
cool.
first record that you recorded with them was the Body, the Blood, and the Machine. Is that
That's the third one. More
okay?
Parts Per Million was the first one, and that was the one that I had just done at my house
Right.
In
So you
Portland.
did you re-record that whole record?
No, that one was just as is. That one we
Okay.
were, because they had wanted us to. I was like, I mean, all of us were like, it's not going to sound. That record is not going to be improved by going
Right.
to a real studio. We're like, this is just as. And we even told them, we were like, we'll put this out on like a smaller label, and then you can. And then sign if you want us to only do studio records. They're like, no, that's fine. So I don't know if they still feel this way, but they had a thing was like, they wanted to like discover bands. They wanted like your first record. They didn't really want to do a band that had done records on another label and then they were going to come to Sub Pop. They really
Right.
wanted to like discover you and kind of make you, which they did. And it's a cool, I think it's a smart way to be,
Yeah,
to
yeah.
work.
What were the greatest changes that happened once you had gotten picked up to the Thermals? I mean, I'm sure there's obvious answers you can give, but to you, what was the most, alarming or shocking thing, or wow, this really transformed? Like, what were those big realizations that you had had once you had gotten picked up?
The main thing was booking shows. Like, just being on Sub Pop opened every door, like, because all the smaller projects we had before the Thermals, we were always booking our own shows, and it's so hard to do, and no one wants to like take a chance on you, and they shouldn't. There's no, you don't bring anyone in. As soon as we were on Sub Pop, you had like booking agents who wanted to book us, and then any club, you're starting out, so it's still like the smaller clubs, but it's all the cool clubs, it's all the places you want to play. All those
Right.
doors were just automatically open, and then you could just immediately go on tour, and then you could, there were other bands that would take you out on tour, like, we went on tour with Hot Hot Heat and The
Right.
Walkmen and Death Cab for Cutie, like, immediately. That was all in the first like 6 months of the band playing shows. So that was what was crazy. And then going to Europe automatically, and just all that. And just, and you would know, we really noticed that when you got to Europe, and like every poster that was advertising the shows we were playing all had this, they had put the Sub Pop logo on the poster, because it means something over here, but it means something even more overseas, just that stamp of approval.
Right. Amazing.
Yeah.
And let's move a bit into your solo stuff. I mean, I was listening to it to try to like pick out the differences, or like, I mean, it's you for sure, the lyrics and the assembly. And
right,
how would you describe how your sound changed when you started doing things all yourself, from the writing to the recording to, because you kind of went back to doing that, right?
Right, absolutely. Right.
You took back the control of
right
your music.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the first record I did, Only Water, I just wanted to do something very quiet and soft. No cymbals. There's no cymbals on it. There's no distortion. Because that's what, the Thermals was only cymbals and distortion. So I was just trying to do something quiet and just mellow, which just doesn't come supernaturally to me. But I just wanted to do, after doing the Thermals for like 15 years, I just thought the best thing at that point was to kind of do the opposite. And then the last record I put out, Suck Up All the Oxygen, that one is back in kind of that noisy direction, but still very simple and small and lo-fi compared to where the Thermals had ended up.
Right. No, I've been loving your solo stuff. You had just put
thanks.
Something out too in 2023, right? Like, there's or was that?
Yeah, no, I put out a couple of just compilation of like older stuff, just kind of like rare unreleased lo-fi stuff that I had never released before.
What does it feel like when you listen back to those old recordings that, have been shelved for all these years, and you resurrect them all? Like, what does it make you think of when you listen
them.
To that old stuff?
It makes you think that, like, when you don't, it's really true. They say, like, the more you learn, the more it kind of, like, I don't know if this is something they say. The more you learn, the more you kind of get in your own way, I think, because you, like, it's listening to those old recordings, like, I didn't know my limitations. When you don't know your limitations, you kind of just like, you're more ambitious and you jump in and you think you can do everything and you can't. But just the fact that you kind of go for it and you can accomplish a lot of stuff that you don't give yourself credit for. I think the older you get and the more set you are in your own ways, you tell yourself, oh, I can't do that. I'm gonna stay in my own lane, or I'm gonna stick to what I know, which can be good. It's a little safe. But yeah, listening to the old stuff, I'm always surprised of that I pulled off stuff that even now I would think like, oh, I can't pull that off. Really, if you don't, if you're just young and dumb, you don't have that attitude. You kind of think you can do anything when you're, 'cause a lot of that stuff I'm putting out, I was like 18 and 19, and I really was just getting started with recording and writing. But really, you kind of just like, you don't worry so much thinking that you're not able to do stuff. You don't know that you can't. And a lot of times you can do stuff. You know, you give yourself more credit, I think.
For sure. Absolutely. I love that. And what nowadays, like, what's your songwriting process nowadays? I mean, you still pen tunes, I imagine.
Oh,
Like,
yeah, all the
you
time.
still have releases coming out. Like, how do you
For
go
sure.
about with a new song? Like, what's your approach nowadays as you write a new song or have a new idea?
Now it's just how simple this just the idea can be and the song can be. When I'm learning other, you know, when I'm covering songs, I used to be so impressed when a song like changed key, or you know, or just did you know, use a ton of chords and went all these different places. And now I'm much more impressed when a song has almost no changes and that they're still able to convey a feeling, or you can have, it's crazy, you can have a hit song or just a great song with almost, you know, with very little changes. Like I learned
For
Talking
sure.
Heads, This Must Be the Place, and there's
Yeah.
no change. It's three chords, one chord's repeated, but it's really just kind of the structure is just a loop, and it just goes on and on, and the words change all the time. But really, like it's so amazing how much life they're able to suck out of just one chord progression. Like
Yeah.
you really, I'll go back to some older songs that I have, and sometimes I think, wow, this song, they were trying so hard, and sometimes that's good. But now these days, I just think you can get a lot more out of doing less.
Sure. I like that idea too of learning about yourself and your songwriting through doing covers of other artists.
Absolutely,
I mean, there's so
absolutely.
much there to be learned. And with new AI tools, I wanted to tell you about this AI chord, like where you just plug a song and it shows you the chords, the
Oh,
melody,
really?
the lyrics. It's really quite amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I'll send that along your way
Oh,
because
okay, cool.
if you know three chords, you can play about 90% of the songs that
Absolutely, yeah, for
are out
sure.
there. And speaking of covers, so you have this new initiative starting in 2024 on Instagram where you're covering songs for $25. Where did that idea come from? I know you've been doing covers on Instagram for, well, a long time, a while anyway.
It's just like in
What was the
like
catalyst of
September
that?
of last year. I don't know. I mean, I'm always, you know, if you're trying to be an independent artist, you're always just hustling in small or big ways, and you know, a lot of it's just small ways. I was thinking, you know, you a lot of hustling an art is trying to figure out ways to get paid for things that you already do for free. So, I
That's a
don't know.
quote
A lot
there,
of that,
actually.
yeah, for sure, for sure. Also, I mean, a
Nice.
lot of the stuff, I think being impulsive in your art or your hustle is a good thing because, again, you don't get in your own way. You just think of an idea and immediately just give it a try. And I thought, well, you know, people are requesting songs all the time. How much? I mean, $25, it's not a lot of money, but it's not a tiny, you know, people pay $25 for a record. It's you can get a lot for $25. So I just kind of put it out there. This was like September of last year, and I thought, well, maybe we'll get a couple requests. This will go on for like a couple weeks or something. And then, you know, it's been I've done like 150 songs so far. So it's great. It's not a job, but it's something, you know, it's something that I like to do. And that people, like, the response to it, like, the emotional response has been great. Like, it's something that makes people happy. And so, yeah, I'll keep it up as long as people still want to hear it.
Has there ever been a request where you're just like, no, no.
I say I'll play any song, but I won't play any song. There's just some, if a song has kind of what I, if the lyrics, there have been some lyrics that are just kind of foul, like about, I don't know, sexual. There's some lyrics I've just found distasteful. And so I'll just go to the person and say, hey, is there another song by this artist? And like, I'll give someone their money back if we can't agree on a song. But so far, everyone, I mean, these are people who like my songs and like me. And, you know, these are nice people, you know, and no one's trying to like, you know, like trip me up, I don't think, with these songs. So, yeah, but that's only been just like a few times. I'll be like, hey, I'm uncomfortable singing these lyrics. Let's just try a different song. Yeah, people have been fine.
And what's your, how do you get the request to actually posting it on Instagram? What's the in-between parts of all that?
The process is to find the chords and lyrics, which 99% of the time are on Ultimate Guitar. I will go there. And then there have also been times where, like, if the chords and lyrics aren't online, I'll just tell the person, hey, I can't. Because I don't, like, I can definitely learn a song very quickly and, like, play it and record it, but I can't figure out, like, that's never been my specialty, is, like, listening to a song and figuring it out. And, like, when I was in the Thermals and we covered songs, it was always Kathy who was figuring out the songs. Like, she had a really good ear for that. So we'd be like, let's cover that song. She would sit down on the bass and figure it out. But like, that process, that I can't do that. That would add like hours or days to this whole process. So, but fortunately Ultimate Guitar is really good for, So I'll just kind of like set it up on my laptop. You know, I'll listen to the song a few times, and then I these days, as the project goes on, I try to listen to the songs much less. And especially if I know the song, I won't listen to it at all. Now, like, only in the past week or two, I've just moved into just like first just looking at the chords and lyrics. Because a lot of songs, if the song is a solid song, you can see it on the page. You don't need to hear it. And when I'm listening to a song, sometimes you get caught up in, you're trying to do like an impression of the singer or the song. You're trying to recreate it. The less you think about the original version, the better I think it's going to be. That's what I found for me. Like, if I'm doing, I think it's more entertaining. It's more unique too. If I'm giving you like my version of this song, as opposed to just like recreating the original recording.
Right. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And it puts your personal stamp on it as well for whoever requested that song, right? So it makes it unique in a sense.
People like it a lot, which I was afraid that, I don't know, you get stuck, or I get stuck thinking that when someone requests a song, they want to hear something very faithful to the original, but it's not, it's the opposite. You want to hear like a new take, something more unique.
Right on. So if somebody's listening to this, what do they do? They message you on Instagram saying, here is the song I want, and then they can send you their money via...
For sure. Yeah. We do online, we use Venmo or PayPal. But the best is just to like... They can go to Instant Anxiety on Instagram. Yeah, they find me. But yeah, sometimes people won't even... They'll just like, you know, put a message with their Venmo or PayPal and say like, hey, this song. And I put a little thing on my Bandcamp so people can like... So you can get like more info about it and people can check it out. But a lot of times people will be like, hey, I'm thinking about this song, or that people are like coming to me like, I can't, they're like, I want to request something but I don't have an idea, and we'll kind of like brainstorm a song. It's a pretty fun process.
Fun.
Yeah.
And what's coming down the pipe for you in 2024, other than your covers and maybe a cover album, or what's up for 2024?
I have a record of originals almost done. I have been mixing it for the past like month or so. And I'm really like in the final stages. Like, I'm hoping to finish mixing it this week, get it mastered, and then have it out maybe March, I think. maybe February,
Amazing.
but probably March. Yeah, and then start doing some shows and then just start recording again. It's kind of just like the cycle. I have a, you know, I have a
The
studio at my house, so there's no
No,
reason
fun.
for me to not be recording all the time.
Right. And you always have enough material as well. Do you ever hit like a dry spell where it's just
No,
like
I wish I could. Because I always feel like I have this long list of songs that
the
I've written. I know. It's definitely a good problem to
good
have. I mean, there have been a few of these covers that I've done where I'm like, oh, that like suits me so well that I will try, I am going to try to do a recording of that. Which has never been the case. I haven't recorded that many covers. But yeah, I mean, really, every time I sit down and pick up the guitar, I usually, if I'm not working on something else, I'll usually come up with something new. And a lot of times I'm like telling myself to stop writing stuff because I don't want to feel like every time I make a record, I'm just cleaning house. I want to feel like I'm just coming up with something, a new idea, and then getting it down and getting it out. As opposed to always having this like backlog of songs in my head, but it's hard to stop that flow. But yeah, it's no complaint. It's just like how it is for me.
If you had to give a sentence that describes this new set of songs that you're working on right now, like what? How would you describe it in a sentence or two?
I would say to my ear, it's a very old-fashioned type of rock record. Like it's very like. I say to my ear because I don't think it's going to sound this way to other people, but to my ear, it's something that's coming from the 60s and 70s. It's a rock band, but there's a lot of acoustic guitar, and my dad played organ and keyboards on it.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's I think it's quite old-fashioned. It's the songs are very sentimental. I wouldn't say they're all sad. There are some sad songs, but yeah, it's some very sentimental old-fashioned rock songs.
Amazing. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Cool. Oh,
Well, Hutch, I want to thank you just for hopping on here and
for
sharing some
sure.
of
Thanks,
your
Chris.
history and your music. It's really fascinating. Great stories. I'm
Thanks,
glad that
man.
we're putting them on tape
Oh, yeah, me too.
so that we'll listen to them in the future and be like, yeah, I remember that. So,
Yeah.
but thanks so much for hopping on and joining me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
The brightest of light.